My name is Victoria Ketty, and you are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
The WGXC Community Calendar Online has all sorts of local events in it, including the performances from Rashid Zakat and Aluwa Femi at the Avalon Lounge on Sunday, June 26. WGXC will have a live webcast of the performances at WGXC.org. Click on the Listen button to tune in. Waveform artists Rashid Zakat and Aluwa Femi perform a virtual dance party they're calling Revival, sonic transmissions from a Black spiritual and ecstatic experience. You can tune in their radio broadcast on 90.7 FM the day before, Saturday, June 25th at 4 p.m. on WGXC, or turn out in person to hear Rashid Zakat and Aluwa Femi Sunday, June 26th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Find out more on the WGXC Community Calendar online at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Ginger Radio Hour. My name is Justin Maiman. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. I'm live in the Accra studios. And today a show here on Ginger Radio Hour about landscape and ruins and all sorts of things related. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to feature an excerpt of an interview I did with photographer and author Marissa Scheinfeld. She wrote a book called The Borscht Belt, Revisiting the Remains of America's Jewish Vacation Land. But it's not just a book full of text. It's actually chock full of photographs, beautiful photographs she took with her medium format camera in the Catskills in the 2010s. This is a book that's been out for a little bit. I just discovered it, and it's blown my mind a bit. So today, I'll feature an interview, an excerpt of an interview with Marissa a little later in the show. Until then, I'm going to play a whole bunch of music inspired not just by her book and the idea and thought of landscape, but also by the conversation she had. She really opened up a whole bunch of things for me. And so I'm going to play some music that reflects that. So let's begin with El Lado Negro.
Hold on tight. up all night. Terrified, kissing you twice. Loyal freaks, hold on tight. 'Cause here's a way to lose your mind.
Accidents that happen follow the dot. Coincidence makes sense only with you. You don't have to speak. I feel emotional landscape.
Push me up to the state of Must grow as quick as possible. Welcome to jungle, dear. Risk it on a tooth or bone as you travel along. Come and run, run to the road. Welcome to jungle, dear. Where lorries are chariots, railways are stairways, stairways to heaven. Heaven is brightened. Oh, alien, oh, alien. All alien. You better be to go back home. Cause if they find you, they will kill you.
This is Ginger Radio Hour, live from the Acre Studios, WGXC 90.7 FM. Let's get you caught up on some of the music. Today's Ginger Radio Hour is all about landscape. That was Benjamin Clementine with God Save the Jungle, and before that, of course, Bjork with Yoga. Let's get into some more music. Here's some Bauhaus.
Get up. eat jelly, sandwich bars and barbed wire, squash every week into a day. Some color, it bring out your eyes. You say you'd never bother, 'cause you'd be telling lies. Why don't you try some earth tones, since you claim you wanna die? The color of compost might make you feel revived. Well, I think it'd look great on you. Go and show yourself. There's nothing to be scared of. Do it for him. never true.
Moses Sumney. The track is Color. Before that, Bauhaus with All We Ever Wanted Was Everything. My interview with Marissa Scheinfeld is coming up next, but to set the stage, we're going to hear Florist, originally a Catskills-based, or at least Catskills-originated band, with a song called Spring in Hours. Please listen. I'll be right back. Photographer and author Marissa Scheinfeld has made a tremendous book full of pictures of the Catskills. It's called The Borscht Belt, Revisiting the Remains of America's Jewish Vacation Land. Came out a few years ago. I just recently discovered it and had the pleasure of speaking with her earlier this month. I'm going to play an excerpt from that interview in a moment. But first, I wanted to open up the book. She wrote a tremendous prologue for this book. Again, it's chock full of 129 photos that she took of former Catskills resorts and bungalows and cabins starting in the 2010s. Before we get there, so she grew up in Sullivan County. This was all stuff that was very close to her heart. And I'm going to read a paragraph from the prologue. This is Marissa Scheinfeld writing. As a young child, I would visit hotels such as Kutcher's or the Concord in Kiamisha Lake on weekends with my family. Although we were not guests at these hotels, we strolled in as if we were. At the time, Kutcher's and the Concord experienced a mere fraction of the foot traffic they had once accommodated. I've heard stories of having to sneak into the popular fully booked hotels by sliding underneath a metal gate. But by the time I was a child, it was simple to walk into these establishments and spend an afternoon. I can still recall my Grandpa Jack camped out in the card room at the Concord. To a small girl, the card room seemed massive, a space redolent with the scent of cigars, ringing with the brassy voices of older men, triumphant with a winning hand of gin rummy. On a typical summer afternoon, after a visit to the card room to greet my grandpa, I would sit in on a game of bingo or jump feet first in the icy hot tub, known to most as the cold plunge with my grandmother Ruth. In the fall, I would swim in the indoor pool at Kutcher's until my fingertips shriveled up. When I close my eyes, I can still smell the potent chlorine inside the large blue room. Marissa Scheinfeld goes on to talk more about her own experiences growing up in and around these resorts. But when we spoke, I wanted to find out where the idea came from to begin all of this back in about 2010. She'd actually moved out west. And she told me it was all about some advice her mentor, Arthur Oman, gave her. So let's get into this interview here.
He said four words, and those four words were the impetus for the project. I was deliberating dropping out of grad school. I wasn't really inspired by the Western landscape, even though I went there to get away from New York and get away from the East Coast. And all of my projects up until that point were rooted in a history, but the West Coast wasn't really drawing me in photographically. And he said, when you don't know what to shoot, shoot what you know. So those four words were kind of like the fire, shoot what you know. And by that time, I knew from my childhood and my teenage years that the Borscht Belt was this like colossal place, you know, for American Jews and everything it provided, leisure, entertainment, born on the harsh back of anti-Semitism because Jews were banned from hotels and places of employment in the 20s and 30s. And I had known that a lot of those structures remained as eyesores. And it was from that place where I began, you know, looking back at what I knew, where I was from, and starting to research not only text, but archives and look at visuals, photographs, pieces of ephemera. And it was from there that I started to make a list. My process is very research-based. So I began making lists of the hotels that I had gone to, I had heard of, and then by research, via friends, local historians, family members, I started making repeated trips back from San Diego to begin working on the project. Just about that time, I had amassed a nice amount of images and had my thesis show at San Diego State University, and immediately moved back to New York and knew that that was the move I needed to make happen to continue to work on the book and to finish it. And overall, it was largely like 2011 to 2016 I shot, and the book came out in the fall of 2016.
How many images did you make?
Well, the book has 129 to be exact. In terms of how many rolls of film and images, I've never counted, but way more than that. You know, maybe 1,000, maybe more. You know, I shoot with a medium format camera and I shoot on film. And I initially started photographing the project digitally. Digital, I think, is great, and I don't mean to undermine it, but it allows, I think, us to go too fast. You can make too many images. You can make 400 images on a memory card and not think about any of them. And the process of film for me was slower. You had to think more and contemplate about your shot and where you were going to stand and your lighting. And the fact that I only had 16 exposures made me just be a little more choosy, you know, and a little more deliberate. I also think that film has much greater detail and color. So it is my preferred media. And then the medium format camera allowed me to get bigger images. But unlike a large format camera that was real bulky, the medium format allowed me to navigate through the abandoned spaces and everything that would incur, you know, broken floors and unsteady stairs and dilapidated structures. So overall, like, I found this marriage of using film and then I scan it so that I get the color and the detail that I want, but then kind of keep away from the chemicals of it all.
I'm overwhelmed every day by landscape of all sorts here. And I still, my favorite thing to do is to drive from Hudson to Catskill and across the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. And you have this wonderful view of the mountains. So I'm curious, I mean, your whole book is about landscapes of a sort. And so I'm just wondering if you can talk a bit about that.
Sure. Well, you know, when I started the book, I really didn't know nearly as much about the Borscht Belt as I maybe thought. So piecing that story together encouraged me to kind of do my homework about what came before it. So I looked at the earlier histories of the Catskills and started way back with the Lenape Indian tribe, who really their territory, their land was the Catskills, the Hudson Valley, present day New Jersey, Long Island. So I started to look as far as I could. And with that, there's drawings and some history, but piecing together, the story, and we know the story that with the Catskills, it's largely German and Dutch settlers who come in, displace the Lenape tribe. And what they did was they created industries in the Catskills. And the first one was a lumber industry where they would, you have to think of a very rocky, ruggy, mountainous region, kind of close to New York City. Philadelphia was growing, and they used the logs and the lumber to build up both of those cities. And that was like late 1700s, early 1800s. Then you get into another wave of the Catskills where they kind of created a tanning industry, and they tanned leather goods during the Civil War. Around this time, what happens is the really remarkable and interesting thing, because with the railroads that they built, and now the Catskills and the Hudson Valley becomes accessible to New York City, you have artists and writers, fishermen, people wanting to escape the city. And there's this newfound beauty of the Catskills that people now go there for. And I think that that beauty that people had originally gone there for is what has been consistent throughout the Catskills, even with the decline of, you know, all those three industries, the lumber industry, the tanning, and the Borscht Belt, you know, and its proximity to New York, its landscape is, you know, I've been around the world, I've been around the country, and my husband always says, you know, oh, it's because you're from there. But I disagree. I think that there's something special about the Catskills. That I don't want to get into God, you know, but it's like godlike, or there's this universal beauty, and it's so exquisite. And it's been beckoning and inspiring people and drawing people really for hundreds of years. And just like you said, driving over that bridge, I had driven up to my parents a couple of weeks ago, and I hadn't been up there all winter. And when I got to the mountains where like Wurtsboro begins, my soul or my body felt like it was like being full. It was like being filled up of something that was missing. And it was just this feeling of being surrounded by this place, and it was giving me like this charge that I needed, you know. It was like this energetic charge, and I felt really calmed as well as excited by it. And that's what it does for me, and I think it does that for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And I think that's a lot of, you know, I feel a lot of different things when I stare at your images in this book, and some of them make me anxious. Like, I want to clean it up.
Make me anxious too.
I just want to go in there and clean everything up and remodel. And some of them make me sad, obviously, but mostly a lot of them, even when they're not specific objects, each of the images feels like an artifact.
It's very much artifact. It is, you know, relics. That's what I'm drawn to, you know, artifacts, relics, remnants, things of the past that you can find in the present moment. Maybe as, you know, and then it goes to this idea of ruins and melancholy and romanticism and what they can teach us and where we are and where we were from and where we're going. But yeah, it's a landscape book, completely landscapes. Not necessarily the landscapes that one might expect to see, like beautiful, serene Catskill landscapes, but nevertheless landscapes. And they're full of information in a way. You know, a lot of people used to say, there's nothing there, they're empty hotels. And it took me a long time to be like, well, you're not looking, because there's a lot here. And I had one man at a talk, kind of stand up I gave, and he was like, everyone says the Catskills is empty, but these photographs are just full. They're full of everything. They're full of life. They're full of death. They're full of remain and remnant and story and narrative. And you know, that's really how I feel about them. Even though I do not stray or even try to stray from the melancholy and the sadness that the book in a way really is.
You know, sometimes I get, I wonder why I'm so obsessed with the history of the Catskills when I live here, and I tend to interview people, and I'm not sure why I'm always talking about the past, right? Lots of things are happening here now.
Yeah. There's so many people like us, like you, like me, that are literally obsessed with the past of the Catskills. And it's just, there's so much there to unpack. And it's, it was unlike, I think, any place in its time, and maybe even to today, you know, and how many connections it forged, and how busy it was, and how vibrant and community and social, and the entertainment realm that it served. And for all those groups, you know, not just the Jewish Americans that went there, but there's something fascinating about it, just like there's something fascinating about taking a drive down a windy road in the Catskills, and there's something special there. And I think while I can't put it into words, you feel it, I feel it, and people feel that.
Thanks to Marissa Scheinfeld. The book is The Borscht Belt, Revisiting the Remains of America's Jewish Vacation Land. You can go to marissascheinfeld.com or borschtbeltbook.com to get your book. But also, I was over at Spotty Dog last week in Hudson, and they had at least one copy on the shelf. Again, it's The Borscht Belt. I call it haunting and hopeful. That, I think, sets us up for our next song.
I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced. I'm gonna see some folks who have already been let down. I'm so tired of America. I'm gonna make it up for all of the Sunday times. I'm gonna make it up for all of the nursery rhymes that never really seem to want to tell the truth. I'm so tired.
I got a lot. Mate, what's up, mate? Cool? Are you hot? Yo, man, how's over there? How's everything going over there? I hope everything's good, eh? I'll send my greetings to everybody. Can't wait for January to come.
That's one of my favorite tracks I've been listening to lately. It's Deval Timothy. The song is Ball from the album Sanam, which I would highly recommend. Before that, Going to a Town by Rufus Wainwright. You've been listening to Ginger Radio Hour. Thank you for spending the time with me. Again, thanks to Marissa Scheinfeld. We've been focusing on the Borscht Belt today, landscape, a little bit of melancholy, but also some hope, I hope. So I picked a track that I don't even know how to explain how I picked this, but I think it will ratchet up the energy here as you get going with your day. So thanks for listening. My name is Justin. This is Ginger Radio Hour. Enjoy your day. Yep, it's Kate Bush running up that hill. A deal with God. Enjoy. It doesn't hurt me, yeah.